This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke. Thanks so much for tuning in today. The sequel to Wisconsin's Summer of Recalls is now underway.
This energy has been building for the last 11 months, so the energy has not stopped. And when people say, oh, people are going to forget, they're going to be frustrated, I mean, at policy after policy has energized so many people to say, we can't take it anymore. So people are energized, and they are ready to go, and I'm just so grateful for all those who came out tonight and those who are going to volunteer over the next 30 to 60 days.
That's recall organizer Stephanie Findley speaking at a midnight kickoff in Milwaukee to the effort to collect enough signatures to force Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker into a recall election. Organizers need to collect more than 540,000 signatures in the next 60 days to put the matter to a vote. The effort comes on the heels of the 9 recall elections involving state senators in Wisconsin, which tilted the balance of power slightly, giving Republicans a single vote majority in the Senate. But Wisconsin is not alone on the recall scene. Before now, the most notorious recall election took place in California, where Gray Davis was driven from the governor's office in 2003. Before that, though, only one other governor was ever recalled, North Dakota's governor in 1921. Charting this phenomenon is Joshua Spivak, who is a senior fellow at the Hugh Carey Institute for Government Reform at Wagner College in New York. He's also author of a blog called The Recall Elections Blog, and he joins us by phone to share his perspective on the recall craze. Welcome to Lake Effect.
Thanks for having me.
Is there political advantage in a recall versus waiting for a regularly scheduled election?
Generally, yes. There's a mover's advantage, and especially because it's a special election, usually a special election, the recall proponents have an advantage. They're angry, they're upset, they're motivated, and they have people coming out to the ballot for a single election, as opposed to a regular general election where people are coming out for a whole slew of votes. It's a little different here because it's a governor, but generally, if it's, say, a state assemblyman, state senator, they're coming out just for that one vote. So they have to know about it, want to vote, and care enough to get out to the ballot. The people who are pushing the recall have that. They're there. They're angry. They want that guy out. So what we've seen is, before Wisconsin, if we just remove those 9 elections, which happened in a very compressed time frame and were almost a statewide recall, there were 23 recalls, including 2 this year, against state legislative officials. State legislative, not non-gubernatorial, non-statewide officials. Of those 23, let's see, 15 were successful. So that should show you how powerful the recall is as a weapon against state legislators.
At the same time, are there political risks, especially if a recall election is not successful?
It's hard to say. Have we seen that? No. We haven't seen, you know, a future smackdown of somebody after they won the recall or they lost the recall, that there was a damage to that party. So I don't know that we could say that for sure. There are instances of, you know, wider problems for the parties, but that doesn't really affect the recall itself. That doesn't really affect that from this recall. So I don't know that there is that risk. I think in this case there could very well be. The cost of the recall will be significant, and not the campaign spending, but the actual state cost of the ballots and just getting the recall off the ground. In California, in 2003, it was $66 million. Now, California is a much larger state, so no surprise there. But if there's a failed recall, perhaps voters will be angry about that and maybe take it out on the Democrats in November.
Is there something emboldening in the use of recalls? That is, do they get easier with each successive and successful recall election cycle?
Yes, I think they do. And I think people are more likely to use them once they see other people have used them successfully. However, I think it's a broader effect than that. Technology has made the recall easier to get on the ballot, thanks to the internet, thanks to just basic devices like cell phones, like spreadsheets, it's easier to get people, it's easier to figure out who you need to get and get them to sign the petitions. The result has, we could see the result in the broader use of the recall. So out of the 23 recalls outside of Wisconsin that have occurred in U.S. history, 16 have been since 1981. They just are more likely to happen.
I think you've written that recalls tend to be more likely to succeed when they are linked to a single issue that has spurred outrage among many voters. Organizers of the recall drive against Governor Walker here in Wisconsin are quick to point out that the many issues they say drive their focus. But what is the conventional wisdom about recalls surrounding, say, one galvanizing figure? Is one person enough to drive interest in a recall and make it more or less likely to succeed?
I think it certainly succeeded with Gray Davis. So we've seen it happen, and we have seen it, especially if that person, if there's a feeling of corruption around them, that's really the best way, corruption or that single issue, usually taxes, or in one case, two officials who voted to raise the legislative pay salary. But it's hard to say if that one issue, that one person will push it or it will blow up in their face. Dianne Feinstein in 1983 faced a, I guess I'd call it a kitchen sink recall, where one group brought it over gun control issues and then other groups, everybody jumped in. So it was her versus all of these groups, and she crushed the competition, got 81.5% of the vote. So sometimes that could work in your favor if you're the official. But generally, there is it is very possible to use that and slam the official and get him out, as per Gray Davis.
Well, and are there lessons people involved on both sides of the Wisconsin gubernatorial recall would be well served to learn from the Gray Davis experience?
It's hard to say. Davis seemed it was such this circus, and it took on a life of its own. And it wasn't, as opposed to this recall, which is very much a party versus party or interest group versus party issue. That one they were able to create it into a beyond party fight, and that post-party kind of fight, and that really worked against Davis. I don't know that there's going to be anything like that.
Well, and we tend to have a fairly insular view. I think there's some belief within Wisconsin that we are currently living in recall central. But can you give us some perspective? Is this really a national renaissance for the recall movement right in this point in time?
Definitely. There's been an expansion. Miami-Dade had a recall of its mayor. That was the largest recall of a municipal official, 3.5 million people in Miami-Dade. So that was a very big recall. Omaha had a recall. The person survived. Akron had a recall. Arizona had recalled its state Senate president, Russell Pierce, and that was very big in the news. Michigan has had, this one area in Michigan has had 340 recall attempts in, not that got on the ballot, but people took out signatures in, I think, the last 10 years. So recalls are very popular. But Wisconsin is certainly taken a lead on this front. They now have more recalls for state legislators than anyone in history, by a lot. California had 8. It really has pushed to the fore.
Is there study for how politics is affected afterwards in the location of a successful recall? Are politicians more timid about taking on issues if they are thinking that a recall is possible down the road?
I've never seen anything about it, and I don't know if that's ever the case. I think people are always aware of it, and it might be that they're more likely to be focused on their base, on appealing to their base. That could be the case. They might be more concerned about gerrymandering, as we might imagine, but I don't think that there's been anything that suggests that politicians are more timid or less timid with a recall. After a recall.
Are we seeing any pushback in other parts of the country? Are there states or municipalities that are seeking to make it more difficult to recall a lawmaker?
No, but there are states that are adopting the recall. Well, not states, but municipalities that are adopting the recall. And there are states that are discussing adopting the recall. So I think that we're not going to see that. I think what's occurred is, but it always happens after a recall, that legislators propose amendments to limit the recall, to prevent it from occurring, as we've seen in Wisconsin. I think Voss has an amendment out there. But voters like the recall, and they don't want to get rid of it. They want to have this option. They don't like it when it's used against whoever they support or their team, but they're certainly in favor of using it in a general sense, and they'd like to have that option. So I don't think there's going to be a nationwide pushback against it.
There are reports that have surfaced here in Wisconsin about people who have allegedly plotted to sabotage the recall election. And regardless of the truthfulness of these particular reports, I would imagine that this is not the first time someone would have tried to muddy the signature collection phase of a recall election. Do we hear anything about how technology is impacting not just the ability to collect signatures, but also the ability to make it more difficult?
There was a very interesting case in Michigan where somebody was where they collected signatures. This just happened for a state Senate recall, and the signatures, the guy claimed he was in a car accident and couldn't deliver them, and the signature pages have disappeared. So nobody knows what that was about. That's a good example of somebody maybe taking the lead of an organization and maybe not being in favor of the recall. But I think generally it's the technology is a big help. So whatever damage you could do, you could probably still do. It's the same type of damage you could have done in the past. The big change would be if you could print up the pages and mail them in, as there was a proposal that you could do that. That was the GAB had proposed that, and other states have talked about doing that also. That would be a radical expansion of the recall and really make it more likely to happen, I would imagine, and also more likely to sabotage. But the GAB walked back a bit on that, so that's yet to occur in any jurisdiction nationwide.
Is the success or failure of the gubernatorial recall effort here in Wisconsin likely to have a national impact on the recall movement? I guess that is how closely are other people who might seek to recall their own officials going to be watching this effort here in Wisconsin?
I think it will. I think they'll be more likely to do it if it succeeds. Whether it could get on the ballot or not is another story. Let's give a good example from Gray Davis. So Gray Davis was the 31st. There were 31 attempts to recall a governor before Gray Davis in California. All of those failed. And one of the reasons Gray Davis succeeded was because California has a few laws that make it much easier to get a recall on the ballot in California than in other states for the governor. You only need 12% of the voters who turned out last time. 2002 had the lowest voter turnout in U.S. history in California. So they needed only a smaller number of signatures. Plus, there's the development of a signature gathering industry centered in California to get initiatives on the ballot. So that same process pushed the recall forward. But the real key is money. And now we're seeing money come in and to recall efforts. So that's what, if people are really willing to back up their recall plans with money, then I think we'll see it in a number of states.
Well, Joshua Spivak, thank you so much for your perspective on this, and hope we can talk to you again.
Okay, thank you very much. Take care.
Joshua Spivak is senior fellow at the Hugh Carey Institute for Government Reform at Wagner College in New York. He writes the Recall Elections blog. There is a link to it from wuwm.com/lakeeffect. The effort to recall Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker has 60 days to collect more than 540,000 signatures. It kicked off today at midnight. After a short break, a Milwaukee researcher explains the academic importance of living history. We'll speak with Jennifer Jordan next on Lake Effect.